Our first reading for this, the celebration of the ascension of our Lord, is from the first chapter of Acts. In the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from the first chapter of Ephesians. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." This is the word of the Lord. Our third reading is from the 24th chapter of Luke. "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.' And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." This is the word of the Lord. We continue our recitation of the Lord's Prayer with the conclusion. What is the conclusion? "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." What does this mean? This means that I should be certain Father in heaven and are heard by him, for he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you. from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate the ascension of our Lord. And it might seem kind of odd because it feels like we're celebrating the fact that Jesus left us. And that's often how we might even feel. I mean, after all, we can't walk up and see him or talk to him or touch him like Thomas did and the other apostles and Paul. But to say that he's left us is just not true. We don't see him in the same way that they did. But he is still very alive and very active right now for all of us in the church. And in fact, to be as active as he is now, and I would even argue he is more active now in his church than he was during his 33 years of ministry, because now he can be everywhere in the world, all at the same time, all at once. And this is what the Apostle Paul was hinting at when he wrote to the church in Ephesus. And Paul said this to the church: God the Father raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So what's amazing when Paul said is that that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is over all rule, authority, power, dominion. Basically, Paul used every word that you could ever describe any earthly ruler in this world, or anyone who claims to have power and authority in this life. And that now Jesus Christ himself supersedes all of them with an authority that has never been seen in all of creation and never will be seen. But over what? Because he's not ruling the governments in this world right now. One day he will when he returns. But what exactly is he ruling over? What exactly does he have complete power and dominion over right now? Because for many of us, looks like the world's still going on as it is. We still wrestle with sin. We still die. There are good governments, there are bad governments. So how is he ruling? It all comes back to this beautiful picture from Revelation that explains to us so easily what he has complete authority over in his church. And the picture the Apostle John gave us in Revelation was this, and I said this a few weeks ago, that when John described Jesus right now, he said, "Behold, I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slain, but behold, it was alive." And what John was talking about is that he saw Christ in heaven with marks on his body that should make him dead. Nail marks in his hands and feet, a slice in his side from the spear that would have gone straight into his heart. He should be dead, but behold, look, he's alive. And what Jesus is doing up there, he's not just walking around like that. He is, for all eternity, our great high priest. And what he's doing is showing his heavenly Father those marks in his hands, feet, side. Constantly showing his heavenly Father, proving to his heavenly Father, reminding God the Father, that he did everything God the Father asked for us. And what does that mean here and now? Well, this is how he's ruling. Because now, Jesus Christ rules over us when we confess our sins and we're forgiven. How do you know you're forgiven? Well, very easily. Because Jesus Christ said so, and Jesus Christ did everything needed to forgive all of us of every single sin we've ever done. And we know that because he's showing off the marks, his hands, his feet, his side. Whenever we have someone baptized in that baptismal font with those words, "I baptize you in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," We are promised, as Luther wrote in the Catechism, that that simple thing now gives the blessing of forgiveness in eternal life and salvation. Because God promised it. And why? Because Jesus is standing in heaven showing God the Father his hands, his feet, his side to now prove that that person who's been baptized, washed, is united to all of that, has been given the blessings of all of that. That's how he's ruling right now in this world. And even in a few minutes when we come up to the altar and we have the Lord's Supper, it's not symbolic. It's not a metaphor. Jesus Christ is physically present here at Zion Lutheran Church in Bridgeville in that bread and wine. Just as he will promise to be present at any other altar in this world when they celebrate the supper. And that's something he couldn't do during his 30 years of ministry, could it? He couldn't. But he can now because he has complete rule and authority over all the earth. And what does he do at that supper? He literally gives you the nail marks in his hands, feet, side to prove to you that he's with you, he hasn't left you. Everything he's done for you now promises you eternal life. That is where Jesus Christ rules. That is where he has complete dominion and power and authority over all things, his church. That's the blessings of him ascending into heaven. And that's why it was so important that he had to do that. He really had to ascend into heaven so that he could continue to care for his church until that wonderful day comes when the full promise, one of the final promises comes, that as the angel said to the disciples, and I just love it, you can almost picture it, that they're just standing there looking up in the clouds and these two angels come, almost like, what are you doing? And they say to the apostles, this wonderful promise, which is also your promise. Men of Galilee, saints of Zion, Lutheran, and Bridgeville, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. That's our promise. It's a wonderful, beautiful promise. When you look through most of the Bible, if you were to mark, like, which promises have happened, I don't know, I'd have to do a percentage. If I were to guess, I'd say 95% of the Bible's been fulfilled. It's just a little bit left to go, a little bit more. But boy, it's big what's to come, right? The second coming, the resurrection of the dead, life everlasting, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven here on earth. Some of the best promises are yet to come, but they're yours. And you can bet on them. You can rest that they will happen. They really will. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has done everything needed to make sure they happen for you. And he stands up there right now to his heavenly Father, and he will, day and night, until that day comes, constantly reminding him of everything he did by showing him the nail marks in his hands, side, feet, to prove that he's done everything needed to save us and that he has done everything to fulfill all the wonderful promises God has made to you. Those promises will come. They are yours, all because of Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.